Thank you. It's a real joy again for me to come to you in your home, wherever you are, to discuss something of what the Word of God reveals to us, not only with respect to our Savior, but also with respect to us who love the Savior, who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and respect to our walk before Him. We were dealing yesterday with this question of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to the end of the chapter, the second exhortation of Paul with respect to the believer in his walk before men. In the first 16 verses we have, we are to walk in the unity of the Spirit, and we are to seek this, to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And now the second thing that Paul has spoken to us about is that we shall walk in a new creation. Again, I repeat what I said in the past lesson, that every man who has put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ is a new creature. We're born again from above. We're indwelt by the Spirit of God. And God wants us to live lives that will magnify and glorify Him. So we have from verse 17 down through verse 20 for a moment, if I may take this up. For 17 to 19, we have a little picture of how the unsaved walk. You remember, the Christian is a new man with a new walk, having a new life, and God expects him to walk differently from the man who is out of Christ. Our job is to show forth Christ to the world. Now, I recognize, and I've said this before, the life of Jesus Christ defies imitation. We are not to imitate Christ in the sense of being imitators, but rather God wants us to yield ourselves to the Spirit of God who indwells us, and He will live out the life of Christ through us. I know it's a supernatural life, but God is there to do it. If we only let God have His way with us, He'll do it. The trouble is we want to run our own lives the way we want to run them, and oftentimes we get ourselves into trouble. Now, in verses 17 to 19, we have how the unsaved walk. Let's pick this up for a moment. How the unsaved walk. Verses 17 to 19, and I read these verses again. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles, that's the unsaved man, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. Now, well, you notice, first of all, in verses 17 and 18, they walk in the vanity of their mind. By the way, there are seven things in these two or three verses, things that mark out the unsaved man. They walk in the vanity of their mind, and they have their understanding darkened. Vanity of mind and their understanding darkened. One is very much tempted to go into the book of Romans chapter 1 and 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where this is taken up a little more in detail. But here he's talking about the reasoning faculty and the intellect. And the reasoning faculty and intellect of the unsaved man or woman is blind to spiritual realities. You remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 4, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those who believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Christ should shine upon them. The Apostle Paul could say in Acts 26:18 that his job was to open darkened eyes, to turn men from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Our Lord Jesus in John chapter 3 could say, he that believeth not is condemned already. Talking about the question of a man, they love the night because their deeds are evil. They love darkness because their deeds are evil. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 13, the Apostle Paul says that we have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness. Now, many, many people are very wise in the ways of the world, but they're ignorant in the ways of God. You remember 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. That's what you have here. We are not to walk as the unsaved man in the vanity of the mind, having the understanding darkened. I repeat this because it's so obvious that the unsaved man, I care not how many degrees he has after his name, the impossibility of the human mind beginning to fathom the infinite mind of God. And the only way, my friend, you'll ever know God is through revelation given to us by the Spirit of God in the Word of God. In fact, the psalmist could say, the entrance of thy word giveth light. L-I-G-H-T. And Jesus could say in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25 through 27, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hidden these things from the wise and from the prudent, and thou hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. So we find in verses 17, the beginning of 18, the two things. First of all, he takes up the vanity of the mind, the understanding darkened. That is, the reasoning faculty and intellect of the unsaved man is blind to spiritual realities. He may be very, very wise in the philosophies and the ways of the world, and know absolutely nothing, be absolutely ignorant of the things of God. You know, if I can comfort some of you friends who have been trying to witness for the Savior, and you have others who have degrees and they're PhDs, or they may have some other kind of a degree, and they're very brilliant mentally, and they're kind of sarcastic with you when you talk about loving the Savior. I had a preacher one time, for example, he stopped me on the street and he said, are you the young man that's preaching down here in this hall? And I said, yes. They tell me you're preaching about the deity of Christ and his death and resurrection from the dead. I said, that's correct. He said, why away with that stuff? He said, if I had my way, I would liquidate all you preachers who preach that way because you're a hindrance to civilization. That's right, it's civilization without God. He was a man whose understanding was darkened, and yet a preacher. You see, God doesn't reveal his wonderful truths to closed minds. To closed minds. I believe that wherever there's a heart that yearns to know the Lord of glory, God will reveal himself to that heart. But the trouble is, we want our own religion. We want our own way. We don't want God to have the right to say how he's going to save man. We don't want to give God the right to say how he can give eternal life to man. We want it on our own terms. And because we want it on our own terms, we don't get it. We just don't get it. That's why the man of the world, the unsaved, the unregenerate man, however brilliant and wise he may be in the philosophies and wisdom of the world and the ways of the world, he doesn't know the things of God. I repeat it, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Likewise, again, the verse which we had the other day when we were discussing this very matter. The amazing thing this, the impossibility of the human heart, the human mind, by natural reasoning, trying to find the person and purpose and love of God. Now, I didn't say this is in the book. In verse 18, they not only had the vanity of their mind, their reasoning faculty blinded, but in verse 18, they were separated from the life of God. Now, we don't like that, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. They're separated from the life of God. Listen, friend, let me make it very, very clear. Jesus said, he that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son of God shall not see life. In John chapter 3, verse 36. It's repeated, by the way, in 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 to 12. The difference between life and death is Jesus Christ. In John 1, 4, in him is life. Our Savior said to the Jews of his day, if you believe not that I am he, you will die in your sins. But he also said in the very same chapter, verse 51, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. And the difference between the two is relationship to Jesus Christ. Let me be very frank about this. There is no life in the man out of Christ. Why? Because of the hardness of his heart. Persistent unbelief. No life. The Apostle Paul said concerning Christians, you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Again, I want to make it very, very clear. There can be no life without relationship. You don't get life from doctrine. You don't get life from some ceremony. The impossibility of getting life, only one way. Life comes through relationship to a person. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is the fact that it's the good news concerning a person, Jesus Christ, God's Son, and God has made it real to you by raising him from the dead. And having raised his Son from the dead, he guarantees life eternal to everyone who will be related to his Son. That's why he said in chapter 1 of John, to as many as received him, to them he gives the right to become the children of God. Relationship, union with God, this marvelous thing that God today is picking up men and women and he's joining them to himself. I wish in some way I could make this very clear to you. Listen, friend, it's not your brilliancy, it's not your goodness, it's not your morality, it's not even your religion. Life comes from relationship to a person. And the God's good news to men is that God has made provision whereby you and I can come into relationship with a real living person called Jesus Christ. And when you accept him as your own personal Savior, when you believe on him, you pass from death to life. Now, the unsaved man has no life. He's separated from the life of God. In fact, in this verse here, in verse 18, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. In other words, persistent unbelief. As Hebrews chapter 3 and 4 says, unbelief persisted in produces hardness. My friends, as I close this message today, I just trust, if I'm talking to those who've been trusting your brilliancy, you've been trusting your philosophy, you've been trusting your education, you've been trusting your goodness or whatever it may be, if you're trusting anything but the Savior, there's no life in you. I repeat it. Jesus could say, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And you can have life today by bowing in humble, simple faith and accepting Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. And I guarantee you'll pass from death to life, and the Lord wonderfully bless you.